Hey, software engineers. Today is Monday, June 3rd, 2019. I'm attorney Michael Rice, and you're listening to Law for Software Engineers. This is episode number one, our very first episode. I'm sure we'll get better as time goes on, so if you're listening to this for the first time, maybe try another later episode once we get rolling. Thanks for downloading and listening to Law for Software Engineers. Despite its boring title, this is supposed to be a relaxed and informative podcast about how law intersects with software engineering, sometimes with disastrous results, but mostly I want to remove some of the fear, uncertainty, and doubt otherwise known as FUD when it comes to law. Since I mentioned my limited legal practice sometimes, I should tell you this podcast might qualify as attorney advertising in California, where I'm based. But I don't think it's going to sound much like an advertisement to you. If it does, you know where to find the unsubscribe button, right? My name is Michael Rice. I've been a software engineer for about 20 years, having been a programmer, a tech lead, and a manager at a lot of name brand companies. And along the way, I took a break and went to law school in Seattle. Some people take a break and travel to Asia. I went to law school, and I actually loved it. Today, I mostly still write code for a living, but I'm still fascinated by law. And no, I can't think of a better name than Law for Software Engineers. Let me know if you can think of something better. In today's episode, we're going to cover a few things. First, we'll talk a little bit about some news related to software engineers and legal issues, specifically the Apple WWDC 19, so the Apple Developer Conference going on starting on Monday, today. We'll also cover our legal topic of the week, which we'll talk a little bit more about what that is. And we'll talk about Lawrence v. Apple, so very Apple-heavy day. So let's get started. Let's start with some news at the intersection of law and software engineering. So like I said, the Apple Developer Conference starts today up in San Jose. I'm down here in Los Angeles. Still can't get over the idea that you have to buy your tickets like 2 months ahead of time. And it's by lottery who gets in to pay $1,600 a pop or $1,599. At least the keynote will be live streamed, though, this morning. So that's good. Some good news. One of the big announcements that we're expecting is that they may be killing off iTunes. So I agree. iTunes does feel a little clunky these days on the Mac anyway. But it was such a huge game changer that I think I'll kind of miss it if they kill it off. It was aimed at finding a way for the music industry to plug a giant hole here in Hollywood where there was a torrent of Napster downloads. See what I did there? Which is actually around the era when I started to really be interested in law and technology and where I was like starting to apply for law school. So it was kind of an interesting time. But much more interesting for the listeners of this podcast, of course, the App Store, the Apple App Store on iOS devices is under fire from litigation, which you probably have seen in the press if you're paying any attention at all. The App Store is obviously super important because if you're a developer writing apps for iOS, the App Store is critically important for getting your code shipped. There was a Supreme Court ruling that came out recently, a few weeks ago, that we'll talk about later in this podcast. So as you know, if you develop apps for the App Store, Apple takes a pretty big cut, and there's really no other way to get an app on the iPhone, which, I mean, I don't know, it definitely feels a little monopolistic or maybe a little unfair, but, you know, if you know Apple, that's kind of how they like to roll. And there are some benefits in the sense that the experience is tightly controlled by Apple, you know, and in their defense is probably a fairly high quality experience. I mean, I certainly enjoy the App Store myself. But keep in mind that, we'll talk about this later, the Supreme Court didn't actually agree that Apple is being monopolistic. The issue that the Supreme Court ruled on is a question about who can bring the lawsuits. And in this case, the Supreme Court basically affirmed what the Ninth Circuit said, and the ruling just came out a few weeks ago. So we'll get into that in a second. So don't stress it. So it will be interesting to see if Apple makes any significant changes or makes any concessions to app developers during WWDC 19 as a result of that kind of pending litigation and any developer pressure that they feel. There are some other legal actions in Europe, actually, on this point, such as the Spotify moving against them somewhere on the continent there. Another thing to watch for at WWDC is some more announcements related to privacy or any kind of new compliance requirements or terms of service requirements for app developers based on privacy or related issues. Don't know if there are any pending right now. I'm just curious. It's just something to watch for. But privacy is a bigger and bigger deal these days, especially given that Apple has really put itself out there with all those billboards that say what happens on iPhone stays on iPhone. So maybe you've seen those around. So lots to pay attention to on Monday at Apple's conference, actually all week. So let's keep our ear to the ground, developers, see what comes out. All right, let's move along. In this segment, I'll try to educate you on some legal concepts or give you some insights on legal concepts that might touch on software engineering and your day-to-day work. And so what I'm thinking is on Mondays, we'll talk about privacy, data breach, and cybersecurity type topics. Tuesdays, we'll get into intellectual property and licensing issues. Wednesdays, we'll talk about the brave new world of blockchain and how it gets quickly enmeshed in legal issues. On Thursday, we'll get into employment law issues for software engineers. And then on Friday, we'll close out with some criminal law issues, which are always fun. Remember, none of this is legal advice. I don't even know who you are, so I can't possibly be your lawyer. So let's keep it in California. We're going to travel from Apple's WWDC to about 120 miles up and to the right from San Jose to Sacramento. I think that's the 680 freeway. I can't remember. Maybe 860. Forget. And let's talk about something very important to developers all over the world, which is California's new privacy law, which updates an already innovative privacy law from a few decades ago. The new law is going to take effect at the beginning of next year. It'll be enforceable pretty soon here. It's a very big bill, and Javier Becerra, our attorney general here in California, hasn't provided any interpretive regulations yet, so there's going to be quite a bit of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, the FUD that I talk about. It may seem to only impact California companies or citizens, but we're the biggest state in the country. One out of eight Americans is Californian. And we'll talk about how the CCPA affects almost everybody that targets California, which is basically the whole world. Or at least maybe I'm a Californian. I'm kind of centric in that way. Anyway, the California legislature, which is the state equivalent of the United States Congress, passed the bill by both the Assembly and the Senate, both houses of the state legislature. And it's been signed by Governor Brown. So it's going to be effective and enforceable one way or another. Now, there are some pending revisions to it that are working their way through the Assembly and the Senate, but it remains to be seen whether those will change much substantive law by 2020. Now, the new California privacy bill is similar to the GDPR, which was really a seismic shift in privacy coming out of Europe, but you probably know it or think of it as those annoying pop-ups that show up on websites asking you to accept the site's cookies. Of course, there is a lot more to it than that. Here in California, it's called the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018, CCPA for short. And the first thing to know or to think about when we consider the CCPA is whether you're covered by it in the first place. So first, the requirements as I understand them is you have to be a for-profit entity doing business and with an adjusted gross revenue of $25 million or more. And you need to meet one of the two following additional criteria. One, your organization has data of at least 50,000 devices or people, which if you're doing $25 million in revenue, you probably easily qualify for. Or two, 50% or more of your revenue comes from selling personal data. So that's just kind of a high level. There's more detail to it, of course, than that. Important to note is that it doesn't really matter if the company is based here in California for the purposes of the, quote, doing business in California, unquote, requirement. Kind of like the GDPR applies even to U.S. companies so long as they're targeting European clients or customers. One of the most important things in my mind is that it gives consumers the right to opt out of the use of their personal information as well as requesting access to all data. That is, if somebody asks for their data, you have to give it to them. Also, there are some pretty hefty penalties for noncompliance, kind of like the GDPR. So if you want to read the full text, you can read it at the California Civil Code. California's law is broken up into these different titles. So California Civil Code is one of them. It's going to be at Section 1798. So that was kind of a high-level summary. I know it lacks a lot of the detail you need, but let me know if this was useful. If you thought the law is a little confusing or you have a specific topic you'd like to cover in a future podcast, just let me know. Just remember, I can't answer legal questions one-on-one with you unless you're actually a client, so don't get frustrated if I can't, okay? But I do want to hear from you all. Want to know what you think of these substantive topics. Now, in this last final segment, I want to dig out some case on any topic involving software engineers and the law. It could be anything from immigration to probate, and it could be from decades ago or maybe even from last week. I'm usually going to cover cases from here in the US of A, but it could be anywhere if I can find it interesting and understand it. So today, let's just keep it in the Bay Area, and I want to tell you about Apple v. Pepper. It's the Supreme Court case that cleared the path for litigation against Apple and the App Store. Well, I guess the Supreme Court's actually in Washington, D.C., but maybe you get my point. So here are the facts. Way back in 2011, Pepper, in a class action, sued Apple, claiming they were overpaying for apps from the App Store because Apple doesn't allow app developers to sell software any other way than through the App Store. Apple asked the trial court way back when to dismiss the case on a somewhat complicated legal ground that because the buyers of the apps weren't actually buying apps from Apple, they were buying them from developers, that they didn't have something called standing to sue, so they weren't the right people to be bringing the lawsuit. And the trial court agreed with that, and they dismissed. Pepper and the class of plaintiffs appealed that decision to the Ninth Circuit, who actually reversed. So the Ninth Circuit covers California among a whole bunch of Western states. They said no, that the buyers were directly buying from Apple, which, you know, it definitely feels that way when you're buying an app from an app store. But Apple asked the Supreme Court to review the decision, and the Supreme Court agreed. So that definitely slowed things down. But even though the Supreme Court agreed to review it, they ultimately ruled against Apple again. So the Supreme Court cases often have long histories. And here's a quick summary of what the legal issue is. The issue is actually pretty complex. It comes from a doctrine involving antitrust cases or monopolistic cases like this one from the 1970s called Illinois Brick. And so under antitrust laws, which is what the lawsuit is claiming, only direct purchasers of a product can sue, not indirect purchasers. So recall that the trial court back in California said App Store buyers were not buying from Apple. They were actually buying from developers, which I agree. I think it's a little hard to understand the decision based on the fact that when you buy an app from the App Store, on the facts alone, the money goes to Apple, and then Apple pays the app developer. But you know, Apple has some great lawyers who probably made some really great arguments. If you skim the Supreme Court case, you'll see that some of those arguments probably made their way up there. But here the Supreme Court disagreed with Apple on a 5-4 split. So the court was pretty heavily split on this one. And interestingly, the new Supreme Court Justice, Kavanaugh, was the opinion's author. And basically the court roughly says that since the contract is directly between Apple and the end user, so if you use an iPhone, your contract, when you buy something, goes straight to Apple, then you're the direct purchaser. And that seems pretty straightforward, but three of the justices dissented, which is pretty common. I guess it was more justices than that, but I counted three on the dissent I read. And they seemed to make an argument that the right plaintiffs, if I understand the argument and my cursory reading of it, is that the right plaintiffs shouldn't have been the actual buyers of apps, but the developers, not the buyers. So that argument probably has some pretty strong merit to it, but again, it came down 5-4, it's kind of like a majority rule in the Supreme Court on the legal doctrine. So that's the law. All right, so we covered some ground today. The little Apple heavy, a little heavy on the Bay Area of California today, but I know. We talked about Apple's developer conference coming up in San Jose today, California's new privacy law and some of the dimensions of it, at least who qualifies under the law. And then we got into Pepper v. Apple, a case that continues a long, winding road of complex antitrust doctrines and brings it forward into the digital age. I hope you found this sort of interesting, software engineers. Don't let the legal FUD slow your roll. There is almost always a way to get things done. Find a lawyer who can help you on a reasonable basis, and there are lots of wonderful ones out there. And of course, if you're in California, you're welcome to reach out to me, a statement which, of course, dooms this podcast to the category of attorney advertising. So stay focused on your craft, software engineers. Oh, and make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Sign up to get my weekly updates via email. Give us an awesome rating so we can reach more people. And go build something, software engineers. You are the ones changing the world right now, so keep doing it.